A new study on mammograms came out yesterday. Experts say it will add to the already heated debate over cancer screenings for premenopausal women. The study concludes that yearly mammograms don't have an impact on the number of cancer deaths every year. Experts don't think this will change national screening policies anytime soon, but it does add to the confusion about whether mammograms are needed every year.
Dr. Anthony Miller joins us now. He's the lead author of the study and professor emeritus in epidemiology at the Dalhousie School of Public Health at the University of Toronto. Dr. Miller, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
So the New York Times today is billing your study as, quote, one of the largest and most meticulous studies of mammography ever done. It involves 90,000 women lasting a quarter century. And the results are provocative, essentially that yearly mammograms don't lower the breast cancer mortality rate for women. Walk us through this. What question were you trying to answer when you began the study?
We were, in fact, trying to find out whether mammography did lower breast cancer mortality. When we started the study, there was no really good evidence that mammography screening was beneficial for women aged 40 to 49. So we assessed that, but in conjunction with good breast examinations. But for women aged 50 to 59, the question was, how much does mammography add to good breast physical examinations? And that is the question we addressed in the older age group in our study. But we found no benefit from mammography in either age group.
How did you conduct the study?
What we did was to seek volunteers from the population. We approached a number of groups in the university and businesses. We had volunteers that called women through the population registers in various centers. In Nova Scotia, we got the assistance of those in charge of the health records to write to women. And once they attended at one of our breast screening centers, we had 15 across Canada, the women were asked, told about the study, explained that whether or not they got mammography would be decided entirely at random, and then they were asked to sign an informed consent form. And if they did so, they then were conducted to the examination room where carefully trained, specially trained nurses did the examinations. And then no matter what was found on the examination, they then, if randomized to mammography, had the mammogram. If they were not randomized to mammography, they went home. Now, if the nurse found an abnormality in either group, they were asked to come back to be seen by the study surgeon, who would then examine them, get another mammogram, or get a mammogram in the women who hadn't been allocated mammography if he or she felt it was necessary, and then make a recommendation to the woman's family physician. So that's how we conducted the study. Then we followed them up. Those who were allocated to be screened came back every year for 5 years, and then we followed them indirectly through record linkage to the cancer registries, which are collected by Statistics Canada in Ottawa, and also the National Death Index.
So it's a striking finding. The way it works in the United States right now is when a woman hits the age of 40, or sometimes 41, depending on the advice of her doctor, she trots off, she gets her mammographies every year, every other year, and this seems to be the standard practice right now. So based on what you found, would you say that maybe women don't need to do that anymore? Maybe a manual exam is enough and we're wasting our time with a mammography?
Well, I think mammography's major use is as a diagnostic test. As a screen, I think it's been very much oversold. Our study finds no benefit of using mammography. I'm not saying every woman needs to come in for an annual breast examination, but I do think it's necessary that women are aware of the fact that breast cancer can occur as they get older, more and more at risk of breast cancer, They should be aware of the structure of their own breasts. Breast self-examination is somewhat unpopular, but in fact we have other studies which show it's beneficial. They should certainly be worried if they detect any lump in their breast, either in the shower or if they detect any change in the shape of the breast when they look at themselves in the mirror. And then if they are worried, they should go and see a family physician or someone who's been trained to recognize the signs of early breast cancer. Unfortunately, still, we've got a cadre of family physicians who don't know the signs of early breast cancer. They are only signs of advanced breast cancer. And sometimes they may wrongly tell a woman nothing is wrong when something is wrong and diagnosis needs to be made.
So let's say a woman does want to be what she considers to be on the safe side and she wants to get a mammogram every year. Are there risks associated with that decision?
Well, there are two risks that women need to be aware of. The first is, and this is many think it's not very serious, but it is that mammography often finds suggestions of abnormalities in the breast, which turn out to be nothing. This is what we call false positives. But in order to determine they are nothing, a number of other tests need to be done, ultrasound, possibly more detailed mammography, even sometimes biopsies. Now, if they're found to be normal, then most women are reassured and no harm has been done. On the other hand, what our study has particularly been able to identify because of the long-term follow-up is that there is this proportion of breast cancers found by mammography that, in fact, are not growing, or they grow so slowly that they would never have caused a problem in the woman's lifetime. And these cancers seem to comprise about 50% of the invasive cancers which are identified by mammography that cannot be found by a skilled examiner.
50%? So you're saying 50% of the cancers that a mammography might pick up might be the type or are the type that would never need treatment?
Well, I'm not quite saying that. I'm saying 50% of the cancers that cannot be found at the time mammography finds them would not need treatment. If you want to relate it to the numbers of cancers found by screening, it's down to about a quarter or just over under a quarter, 22%. But still, it's an appreciable proportion, and it means these women did not need treatment. They've had treatment unnecessarily. Unfortunately, at this moment in time, we don't have the tests that would enable us to determine if this is one of these very slow-growing cancers or a cancer that really does need treatment. So everyone is treated for safety. But we've now shown that a number of women are being treated unnecessarily.
Experts say that the kind of cancers that tend to strike women who are in their 40s, that this type is often very aggressive. So is it important for that reason that doctors catch these diseases early with a mammogram?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about screening that people don't understand. Screening, in effect, because it finds cancers early, maybe, but in a relatively short proportion of their natural history, it really doesn't affect the nature of the cancer. If the cancer is of a type which, in fact, it will grow rapidly and cause metastases and potentially death, finding a cancer early, our study confirms, makes no difference to that that natural history, that expectation. What is making a difference and what is critical, and this is getting better all the time, and it was much better in our study than it was in the earlier studies in Sweden or the first study in New York, is the treatment in addition to surgery, which is given for breast cancer.
And we'll have to pause right there as we talk with Dr. Anthony Miller, Professor Emeritus in Epidemiology at the University of Toronto. We're continuing our conversation right now about a new study on mammograms with Dr. Anthony Miller, Professor Emeritus in Epidemiology at the University of Toronto.
The findings, regular mammograms, especially from ages 40 to 60, I think it was, aren't as helpful as people may have thought previously, and we want to hear from you what you think of this. Is this going to change your plans to get annual mammograms? Why or why not? Are you a breast cancer survivor yourself? How was it detected? Do you think people should go in for regular screenings? And if you are a healthcare professional, what do you make of this ongoing debate? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email, talk@WPR.org.
And Dr. Miller, the American College of Radiology had some criticism about these findings, and they charged that you used secondhand mammography equipment, and that may have, I guess, influenced the results. What's your response to that?
Well, it's not true. We used secondhand mammography equipment. I have no idea where that came from. We were very careful in our selection of centers for the study. In the various places where the study was done, they were all state-of-the-art centers. We used, of course, the mammography that was available during the 1980s, but we used the standard criteria and the standard views that were then accepted in North America. We used radiologists. Radiologists were part of the study. They came to meetings. We discussed the findings. We had a reference radiologist. All the mammography machines were inspected by our reference physicist, who made sure that they did not produce too much radiation. That was a great controversy at that time. People were very worried about the amount of radiation from mammography. And actually, the American College of Radiology is well aware of this. We've reported this again and again. We've commented. We've responded to these comments before. It's really very disappointing that they don't move on and look at the actual findings and the implications for their discipline. But they want to continue chasing after shadows, a number of which will do harm to women because they don't need to be found, and women will be overtreated.
I want to go to our callers now. We have Catherine on the line from Cable. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. So I was wondering the guest's opinion on people who are considered like high risk for breast cancer. So when I was about 18 years old, I was told that by the time I was 25, I should be regularly screened every year, actually, with a mammogram, because both of my grandmothers had breast cancer. One died from it, and the other one had to have her both the breasts removed. And then my aunt, my maternal aunt, also died from colon cancer, which I have some people have associated with the high risk of breast cancer. And so I was just wondering if those folks were included in this study, or if that was a consideration at all, either.
Okay, thank you so much, Catherine. So Catherine wondering about genetic tendencies and high risk cases. What about that?
Well, we recruited women who were at average risk of breast cancer. We did collect information on family history. We did collect information on other risk factors, including smoking, which has turned out to be a risk factor for breast cancer. But we did not make any difference in terms of what we offered women in terms of risk factors. This was because at that time, there wasn't sufficient evidence to suggest that mammography would be valuable in women at high risk of breast cancer. I think now it's recognized that if you're going to screen women who are at high risk of breast cancer by virtue of family history, and I note that your caller has grandmothers who have breast cancer, but not, I gather, mothers or aunts, so that means she is not in a very high risk group. But people in a high-risk group, particularly people who are found to be carriers of the breast cancer genes, BRCA1 or BRCA2, then in general screening is not recommended because the experience has been this does not really help women. Other approaches to management of their risk is necessary, including, if necessary, bilateral mastectomy, and or removal of the ovaries. So I think this is a particularly specialized issue, and we did not set out to evaluate that in our study.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling, Catherine. Hope that helped. And let's move to Rhonda in Baraboo. Hi, Rhonda.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your question?
Hi. I actually am one of those cases that my breast cancer was found by mammography. My tumor was only 1.7 centimeters and was against my chest wall. I couldn't feel it. My doctor couldn't feel it. It showed up on a routine mammogram at age 44. I have no family history, absolutely none of breast cancer. So, and it was triple negative breast cancer. So I'm really grateful for mammograms.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda, and I'm glad that it was a success story for you. Dr. Miller, what about, I guess that's, Rhonda is the classic case, I think, that you'll probably be hearing when people object to this. What about these cancers that aren't detectable by a manual exam that would have gone undetected?
Well, it's not clear that they would have gone undetected. One of the things that we've learned as a result of the various studies that have been published since the first screening studies, which seem to show a benefit, is that because there is this, what we've described, overdiagnosis of breast cancer, our previous estimates of the length of time which mammography advances the diagnosis of breast cancer, which is about 4 years, in our case when we made those estimates some years ago, are actually incorrect. Once you include the fact that some of the cancers would never have grown to become clinically relevant in a woman's lifetime, and we've estimated these are half of the cancers found by mammography which are not palpable, not detectable by a good breast examination, then you find that the lead time gained by mammography is much, much shorter, of the order of 1 year. And that actually will not change the natural history of breast cancer, because breast cancer is a long natural history and is unlikely to make much impact. The thing which benefits women with breast cancer is good treatment. And that's what was available for the women in our study. There's no financial barrier because of the Canadian healthcare system. And many of the investigators in our study had been participants in the trials which established the value of the adjuvant treatment, as we call it, chemotherapy and hormone therapy for breast cancer. So that the emphasis on mammography is understandable, but I'm afraid our study shows it was misplaced.
Now, when you talk about good treatment being key in the treatment of breast cancer, are you talking about things like the drug tamoxifen, which is something that is very effective and might mean that mammographies aren't as useful? Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
I'm talking about tamoxifen. I'm talking about chemotherapy. Now we are able to distinguish different types of breast cancer that we couldn't before. These are actually amenable to treatment with different drugs. And there is increasingly better treatment which is occurring.
Let's get in one more call. Holly joins us from Madison. Hi, Holly.
Hello. My question or comment for Dr. Miller is, does he propose ultrasound when warranted rather than mammography? I found my lump. Mammography was done on the same day ultrasound followed the mammography, and then right away they did a biopsy based on the two imaging procedures. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer and ultimately went through partial mastectomy and so on. My concern now is that I had calcifications recently discovered via mammography. And then they go on and they do further testing once that happens. So I will take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Holly. And Dr. Miller?
Well, if she's had calcifications found, that probably means that she has an area of in situ cancer. In our study, we did follow women with in situ cancer. and they seem to be a risk for breast cancer. So she has to be aware of the possibility that breast cancer has occurred. But the mere fact that you find calcifications doesn't necessarily mean you need to go through all sorts of other procedures, though I would recommend an ultrasound, make sure there isn't a mass, which should then be biopsied to make sure it's not cancer. So there are a number of things that should be done to find out whether this lady has cancer or not.
Okay, well, thank you, Holly. And in our last 30 seconds here, how do you hope this study changes the discussion about whether or not women should get mammograms?
I think it's changed. It's raising the issue back up to the stage where it needs to be for discussion. I understand, particularly, that for women who had breast cancer detected as a result of mammography, it's difficult to accept that this may have been unnecessary. But I believe that we need to consider that possibility and try and adjust our approach to compensate for that or to make allowance for that or to make sure that women are not overtreated. We don't want women to receive treatment which is unnecessary.
Dr. Miller, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Dr. Anthony Miller, Professor Emeritus in Epidemiology at the University of Toronto. He's the lead author of a new study on the value of mammograms.